Hello, my friend. Welcome back, or welcome to Something for Everybody, the podcast to help those who listen feel more loved and connected through story sharing and deep insights. My name is Aaron Mashbitz, and today is a solo episode of the podcast where I cover 8 ways to be a great teammate. And in other news, this podcast is brought to you by Amare. Amare is the mental wellness company, and I use their products every single day. So go ahead and click the link in the show notes below, scroll through all of their products, and see which ones might work best for you and your wellness needs. Then once you get to checkout, use code EVERYBODY for $10 off your entire order. Now, on to episode 237 of Something for Everybody. Hello, my friend, and welcome to Something for Everybody. My name is Aaron Mashbitz, and today is a solo episode of the podcast where I will be discussing teammates and how to be a great teammate and why being a great teammate is so important to great teams or great families or great businesses. Now, I'm going to relate all of these things to sports because that's what I know and that's what I'm familiar with, but being a great teammate encompasses our whole life. Being a great teammate can be interjected into really any domain that you think about, family, business, and sport. And so when we go through these 8 ways to be a great teammate, think about how they apply to your life and then tweak them as needed to fit your specific domain. But we can all take on the responsibility. We can all take on the responsibility of being a great teammate. And so this is very important. And now if you listen to, I believe it was episode 232 of the podcast, this is episode 237, I discussed happiness in much more detail based on Harvard's 85-year study on happiness. And there's 2 really key findings in that study. One was, or basically on how to live the good life, how to be happy, how to improve your happiness. And there was 2 really big findings. One was take care of your health, and the other was build great relationships. And if you want to build great relationships, if you want to have the good life, then focusing on being a great teammate and what attributes and characteristics great teammates have, then that's really important. Because ultimately, being a great teammate builds great relationships, and great relationships build great cultures. Great cultures build whatever you're trying to do, success, production, championships, all of that stuff. So it really boils down to each individual taking responsibility for their own actions. And Helen Keller said this, and I think it's really quite powerful. Alone, we can do so little. Together, we can do so much. And based on that, talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships. Michael Jordan said that. And one of my favorite people to study is Dr. Michael Gervais. And he says all the time, nobody does anything great alone. We need people. We need support. We need teammates. We need relationships. So if we can be relationship driven, relationship first people, which we are intrinsically, that's who we are. And based on this 85-year study and our whole biological evolutionary history, we are relational beings, and so we have to take that upon ourselves to be great teammates, to be those who care about others and care about ourselves and hold ourselves accountable and do all of these things that drive great relationships. Because ultimately, great teams have great teammates. A great teammate is selfless, supportive, reliable, a person that contributes to the team in a selfless, supportive, and reliable way. Whether you're starting at in a starting position or you're sitting on the bench, you have a role. You have a role and a responsibility to your teammates to be an energy giver, Be a positive leader. Own your role every day. Execute your role to the absolute best of your ability and be a person of consistency and reliability. Think about this quote from John Calipari, who's a famous college basketball coach. He says, "What does the team need you to do? I don't care what you want to do. What does the team need you to do? Some of you guys want to play for you or do your thing. What does the team need you to do? Think about something bigger than yourself. Think about something outside of yourself. That's what great teams have. Great teams have great teammates, and they're relationship driven. All great businesses or great families or great religious communities are relationship driven. And it boils down to the individuals in there making the commitment to be great teammates or be great friends or build great relationships or have these things that are important to them. And so we're going to discuss now eight ways that you can be a great teammate. Eight ways. And number one is work hard. Working hard is more than just doing your job. It's about setting a precedent of dedication and collaboration. Working hard is leading by example. When you give your all, it motivates others to match your level of commitment, fostering a strong, united team. Work hard. That's a prerequisite for anything that you want to accomplish in life. You have to go for it, and you have to go for it all the way by working hard deliberately, consistently, and persistently over a long period of time. And if we think about success as giving our best effort, that's how I have defined success, as giving our best effort, which allows us to give us a metric to measure our success. Did I go out there and absolutely give my best effort 100%? If I did, check, that was a success. If I did not, why? What was holding me back? What was preventing me from giving my best effort? That's about working hard. That's about more than just doing your job or executing your job. That's thinking about how can I go out there and give absolutely everything I have when I'm on the field. Because if you're in business or family or sport, maybe you're not in the crucial role or the primetime role all the time, every single play, or maybe you're coming off the bench, or maybe you're trying to earn a starting spot. Whatever it is, you have to take what little you are given and go to the absolute edges of your capacity, go 100%, give it everything you have, make it a success, and then earn yourself a few more reps or roles or opportunities moving forward. Episode 235 of this podcast was about creating your own luck, and it goes right in along with this. If you want to create your own luck, it's about opportunities, preparation, and action. And that's also cornerstones of being a great teammate, because you're giving your best effort. You're ultimately working hard. And that's number one. Number two, own your role. Owning your role means understanding and excelling in your specific duties. It provides reliability and consistency. This reliability ensures that every part of the team functions smoothly, with everyone contributing their best. In all great teams, everyone has a crucial role to play. You can't be everything to everyone all the time. You can't do everything. But what you can do each and every time is execute your role to the absolute best of your ability. That falls right in line with what success means. If success means giving my best effort, and then I'm very, 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 very clear on what my role is, then all I have to do is go out and execute that job. So think about this as sacrifice bunting in baseball. A lot of guys don't like doing it, but why is it called a sacrifice bunt? Because you're giving up yourself for the betterment of the team. That's how you win baseball games. That's how you win championships. Ultimately, that's how you create a great culture surrounding winning and improving and getting better and effort and attitude. And so if I go to the plate thinking, man, why do I have to bunt? This is stupid. I should be hitting. Then you're not really dialed in and bought into the culture of the team. And that could be many things. That could be a coaching issue, a player issue, could be a lot of things. But we want to be able to say, okay, I know there's a guy on second base now, and I need to get him over to third base. I'm either going to hit the ball to the right side, or I'm going to get a sack bunt, because I'm giving up myself for the betterment of the team. I'm doing my role to the absolute best of my ability, because I care about my team, and I care about my teammates, and I care about us doing the absolute best that we can. And so that's what owning your role is. No matter what it is, if it's one inning, if it's one shot, if it's one business call, if it's whatever it is, you're not pouting that you only have that opportunity. You are excited that that's the opportunity you get. Again, back to creating your luck. Preparation enhances confidence. So if you're prepared for the role or for the job, no matter how small it might be, and you go out there and crush it and you execute your role to the absolute best of your ability, there's almost a guarantee that at some point you're going to get more opportunities. And so you have to think about it like that rather than, man, I should have more than this. I should be playing more than this. I should get more than this. Well, you should. You're not. So what you do control is your attitude, your effort, and how you respond to things. You control those three things by moving forward in this way, seizing every opportunity you get, seizing those opportunities by executing your role to the absolute best of your ability, and then creating more opportunities for yourself by showing that you can get the job done on a consistent and reliable basis. That's what it's about right there. And I think that's very important. Number three, extremely important. Be humble. Embracing humility means putting the team's needs above your own achievements. Your humility encourages teamwork and collective success. It fosters a culture where collaboration is valued over individual glory, leading to a more unified and effective team. This falls right in line with owning your role. If you are humble enough, if you care about the team's needs before or above your own, you are going to do that sacrifice bunt because you are humble enough to know that this is what's most important for the team in this moment. This gives us the absolute best chance to win this baseball game. So I'm going to sacrifice myself to move my teammate over into scoring position or into a better position to score. So embracing humility, putting the team's needs above our own. That's what great teams have, and that's what great teammates decide to do. It's a choice to be humble. It's a choice to lead with humility and encourage teamwork and foster collective success. It's a choice. And individually, we're making that choice so that collectively, we're driving in that direction. Individually, we're making the choice to be a great teammate. So collectively, we can have a great team and a great culture that's relationship driven. So collaboration and collective effort and collaboration are valued over individual glory, leading to a more unified and effective team. I mean, remember here what Michael Jordan said, talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships. Teamwork wins championships. I mean, we've seen this example play out in sports over and over and over and over again because we know that the most talented team does not win. The team that plays the best wins. The best team does not win. The team that plays the best wins. And which team normally plays the best? The team that has the best relationships, the best culture, and the best teammates, not the team that has the most talent. We've seen all of these stacked rosters in basketball and in baseball. The Mets, the Padres, all of these people who are buying players over and over and over again. The Suns right now, right? All of these teams are buying the best players in the world. And yeah, these guys are freaking incredible at their sport. But what they're forgetting to do is to create this culture. This relationship first, humble, positive energy, hardworking, effort-driven culture. And that's what builds great teams. That's what wins great championships, is relationship-driven. Again, back to Dr. Michael Gervais, who was with the Seattle Seahawks when they won the Super Bowl, and he talks about this all the time. They were a relationship-driven organization. They cared about each other. They built trust. Everyone understood their role and how to execute their job, and they were humble enough to do it. And so that's why the teams that have the most quote-unquote talent don't normally win, but the teams that know how to play together and mesh together, and they trust themselves, and there's culture, and it's relationship-driven, and they take accountability and ownership of their actions, that's the team that usually comes out on top. Again, the best team doesn't win. The team that plays the best wins. And the team that plays the best is the one that embodies these great teammate and great team characteristics. And so number four, bring positive energy. Bring positive energy. Positive energy is contagious. By maintaining an optimistic and encouraging demeanor, you're reinforcing that attitude that you want to see in your teammates. It creates a motivating and encouraging environment, which is essential for long-term success and morale. Absolutely. Absolutely. The more positive energy that we bring, the more contagious it is. Same with negative energy. But we have to make the choice. What are the three things that we control? Attitude, effort, and response. Most importantly, it's our response. We want to control our response. How do we control our response? Well, we pause. We pause, we pause, we pause. 1 second. Okay. There's this thing I saw the other day. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to find it, but bear with me for half a second here. Yes, here we go. No, that's not it. Yes, I have it. Got it. Stick with me. We're moving on the fly here. Some things pop up. They pop into my head and I want to talk about them. So we bring positive energy by being able to control our response. And so we have reactions and we have responses. Reactions tend to go something like this. Something happens, you panic, then you proceed. Responses tend to go like this. Something happens, you pause, you process, you plan, then you proceed. So think about your response in sort of four P's, right? You pause, take a deep breath or two, and you gather yourself. Then you process. Label the emotions you are feeling. Tell yourself that what is happening right now, I'm doing the best I can. Then we plan. Now that you've collected yourself, make a plan for what you're going to do and how you're going to move forward. Figure out what resources and skills you can bring to the situation at hand. And then the last P, which would be proceed, only then take action and proceed. So it's the four P's of response. We're not trying to react, we're trying to respond. And the four P's of responding are pause, process, plan, and proceed. And so that's how we start to continually bring this positive energy. And so how we respond with the four P's, or however way you choose to respond in the absolute best, most productive, most positive, most encouraging manner, we respond. How we respond impacts our attitude, how our attitude impacts our energy. Let me say that just like a little bit more clean, right? So we have our response, we control our response by the four P's, then our response controls our attitude controls our effort. And we know we want to bring high effort, great, high, positive energy and effort, and we control all that through how we respond. And that response is contagious. I mean, if you're a young person who played sports and you watched your coach throw his equipment, his clipboard, his baseballs, his basketball, his football, and get angry and mad, what tone was he setting? He was setting that tone. He was not bringing positive energy. He was encouraging, he didn't know, subconsciously, he was encouraging that sort of aggressive behavior. He was encouraging that reactive response, not controlled response. We want to be able to control our response, and we want to embody those traits that we want the people around us to possess. If we want people to respond with the four P's of pausing, process, plan, and proceed, then we ourselves have to lead with that example so that we can bring that great response, we can bring that great attitude, and we can bring that positive energy. That's what I'm talking about. Thanks for sticking with me through that. We're just going here on this pod. If this is your first time, thanks for joining us. You know, it's awesome. It's organic. It's real. And this is what we do here. It's something for everybody. Number five, avoid complaining. Complaining only changes everyone's attitude to be more negative. Avoid complaints and negative talk helps maintain a positive team atmosphere. When you focus on the negative, everyone views the environment as more negative. Create a supportive environment where the focus is on collaboration and productivity. This is important. This is the opposite of bring positive energy. So our goal is to bring that positive energy by controlling our response, controlling our attitude, and bringing that great, great effort through our positive energy. And then we want to avoid complaining. What does complaining do? Absolutely nothing. It does absolutely nothing. Let's find solutions to problems. This means that there doesn't mean to be feedback. There doesn't need to be coaching. There needs to be all of these things. But we say it in a way that's productive for our team to get better. We're saying it in a way that's about making each other better. We're learning, we're growing, we're improving because we've built an underlying foundation of trust and relationship first. Then when I come to someone on my team or a coach comes to me or my boss comes to me, I know it's going to be productive. I know they're coming from a great place because we've built those great relationships. I know they're coming from a place of love and care, and they're just trying to make me better by giving me feedback on my latest sales call or giving me feedback on my latest game, whatever the case may be. So they're not complaining about this and that, or we're not having little pockets over in the corner complaining about the coach and other players. That doesn't breed great teams. That doesn't breed great culture. That doesn't breed great relationships. Ultimately, it doesn't lead to anything positive or productive. What does is allowing these relationships to build on top of each other so we can be having honest conversations about what we need to improve on, being able to give feedback, having these critical conversations, but the underlying basis is in love and in care for one another. So it's not like I'm nagging or being mean or coming at you. I'm saying, hey, I'm coming from this space of I care about you and I want us and the team and everyone around us to be better. Here's some feedback. Here's some ways you can improve. And that's really important when it comes to bettering each other on these collective paths or on these collective goals or on our shared mission, wherever we're trying to go with said business or group or team. Number six, commit fully. Commit fully. Full commitment involves sacrificing personal interests for the benefit of the team. It shows you prioritize the team and others. This dedication is more than words because it shows that you prioritize the team's goals over individual recognition, inspiring others to also commit wholeheartedly. Commit fully. Go all in. Go all in. I promise you will feel more regret and worse feelings if you don't even try. Then if you try and it potentially doesn't work out. But how does it not work out if you tried? Because we talked about success, meaning giving your best effort. So if you went for it, you got in the arena, you went blood, sweat, and tears, and you really went for it all the way, then it was a success because you learned something about yourself. You improved, you made great friends, you got built great relationships. All these things happened because you just decided, yo, I'm gonna freaking go for it. You committed fully. Even you made a pre-commitment, especially when you join a sports team. You're making a pre-commitment before the season even starts that I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to commit to this season full throttle and nothing's going to hold me back. Even if things happen, the coach yells at me, I don't get a lot of playing time. I'm committing fully to the team, but most importantly, I'm committing fully to my teammates. And that inspires others to do the same on this mission. Now we have this collective action, we have this collective shared missions, and we're moving together in the right direction based on your full commitment and others' full commitment to the shared vision. And so make that pre-commitment and then commit each and every day moving forward. You've made the pre-commitment and then every day you commit fully one more time. You remind yourself, day one, all in, day one, all in, day one, all in, day one, all in. That's how you have to do. And it involves sacrifice. Just like we talked about owning your role and being humble and playing your part and executing your role to the absolute best of your ability takes sacrifice and humility. Well, so does committing. Committing fully to the shared vision and mission of the team takes effort, takes responsibility, and we're going to get into this next one of accountability, but that's really what it takes. So go all in. Go all in. I promise it will bring some of the best things that have ever happened to you in your life, and if nothing else, you will build beautiful, long-lasting relationships with the people that you were in the trenches with who you also committed fully with you. It's amazing. Number seven, we got two more. Number seven, hold yourself accountable. Holding yourself accountable means being reliable and taking responsibility for your actions. Reliability and responsibility earn your team's trust. Trust among team members is vital for cohesive and effective team dynamic. This number seven is the Jocko rule. Basically, the Jocko rule. Take ownership and responsibility for you and your actions, for your growth, for your learning, for your mistakes, for everything. Hold yourself accountable. If it was on you, say it was on you. That only builds more trust within your teammates, and trust is vital for a cohesive, effective team unit. So take responsibility for you, for your actions, for your words, and take ownership over them. Become the best version of yourself. Take ownership over that. Take ownership over that. Take ownership over these other core values that we've talked about for being a great teammate. Hold yourself to a high standard so others around you hold themselves to the same high standard and really go for it. But most importantly, you're taking responsibility and ownership for you, your life, and your actions and how you want to be on this team and what the shared vision and mission for the team is, and taking responsibility to do your absolute best part to make that happen. Executing your role to the best of your ability means taking ownership and responsibility of that role, regardless of if you like it or not, because you're creating opportunities for yourself by owning that role over and over and over again, then increasing your opportunities, increasing your scope on the team, increasing how much playtime you get, or all of these things that potentially could happen when you start to take responsibility and ownership over your role, no matter how small. You execute that role to the best of your ability, you stay humble through that process, and you absolutely dial in each and every time you get that opportunity. You go out and you crush it, you go out and you crush it, you go out and you crush it, because you've committed fully. You say, day one, all in, day one, all in. And then you hold yourself accountable to the standard that you set for yourself, and then you keep getting more and more opportunities. And you keep crushing it, and you keep preparing, and you keep staying humble, and you keep encouraging your teammates to do the same, and everyone is uplifted because of these actions that you're taking and the responsibility and the ownership that you've taken and decided to take over your life and your team and being a great teammate, because you decided to commit fully to this. And so all eight of these, we're about to get to number eight, all eight of these fall into each other. They stack on each other. They in between, they intermingle. They all have a role to play in you becoming a great teammate, because great teams make great team, or great teammates make great teams, excuse me. And so we are taking on our role, our responsibility, and holding ourselves accountable to be the absolute best teammate that we can be, who's kind, responsible, loving, accountable, all of these things built on trust, relationship-driven teams and teammates. That's what we're about. Because number eight, most importantly, is care for your teammates. Care for your teammates. Caring for your teammates goes way beyond work-related interactions. Strong relationships create a supportive and valued team. Genuine concern and connection foster strong bonds within the team, ensuring that everyone feels supported and valued, which is crucial for a healthy and productive team environment. This is basically summarizes everything that I've been talking about for the last 25 minutes. If we want to be relationship driven, that's how we build great teams and great cultures that are focused on building each other up, that are focused on the collective mission, that have built trust, that are humble, that own their role, that work hard, that hold themselves accountable. It's all about care, like genuinely caring for the people around you. Genuine concern, genuine connection, fostering those strong, powerful relationships that are so important based on this 85-year happiness study, that if we build these strong relationships, our lives will improve. We will live the good life because we had great people to share great memories with and great moments with. And that's what teams can be, whether it's a sports or business or not, wherever it is. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to really care for one another, build these genuine relationships that are about cooperation and reciprocal action and trust and love and these beautiful things that we can see happen when great teams really flourish. And so a great teammate is someone who makes everyone around them better. That's really what a great teammate is all about. Because we know, again, that great teams have great teammates. And we personally, individually, can take on the responsibility and ownership of becoming the best teammate that we can possibly be, that is the best thing for our team. Because a great teammate is selfless, is supportive, cares about his other teammates, is consistent, and is reliable, and maybe most importantly, is an energy giver. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. I really, really appreciate it. Please share with a friend, and I'll see you guys next time. Cheers. Thank you very much for tuning into that episode. What idea stood out to you the most? What idea resonated with you most deeply that you could potentially implement into your life today, starting right now? And if you enjoyed that episode, please share it with a friend, because the podcast grows from people like you sharing it with people like you. And don't forget to leave us a rating or review on Spotify, Apple, or even on Good Pods. But the absolute best way to support this podcast is by becoming a supporter via Patreon. Patreon directly supports me, this podcast, and my mental health nonprofit called You Are Loved. So go ahead and click the link in the show notes below, scroll through all the tiers, and pick the one that works best for you. And thank you for your support in advance. But most importantly, above all else, please, please take good care of yourselves and others. And I'll see you next time. Lots of love. Cheers.